Welcome everyone to Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host Jordan Ron on ESPN, ESPN.com, Giants reporter, and we're here with the free agency preview episode. We're going to talk to ESPN's own Jeremy Fowler in a little bit. He's going to answer all our free agency questions. He's super plugged in. I was roaming the whole halls of Indianapolis with him last week, watching him work. He's got a lot of information in that brain of his. So he's going to break it all down for us. First, we got to touch on where the Giants are overall heading into free agency, because they did not use the tag on Saquon Barkley, which we kind of expected. They did not use the tag on Xavier McKinney, which is a little bit of a surprise. Saquon, the skids have been greased for a while. He's going elsewhere. That's the likelihood at this point. Now, he's probably going to take the combination of the best money and situation, but it's got to include that money. And the Giants, you know, I mentioned this last time, they don't really want to go there. They don't want to pay there. They don't want to pay for that running back. They don't want to pay big money. They're not in a position to pay big money for a running back. A 27-year-old running back hasn't helped them overall, you know, roster construction-wise, win games. It's the bottom line. So Saquon Barkley's probably gone. We'll talk about Philadelphia in a little bit with Bark. As far as Xavier McKinney, my interpretation of the situation is he wants top-of-the-line money, right? Big money. The Giants don't really want to give him big money for two reasons. Number one is positional value. They don't want to dump that much money into safety. To them, it's not an ultimate premium position. And number two, he has some incidents on his resume, right? The trip to Cabo, the accident, the butting heads with Wink Martindale, those are there. Is that the guy you really want to invest all this money into and have as your team leader? I think that question is out there a little bit. That plays into the situation. So you put those together. Yes, they want him to return. He's a 24-year-old, really good player. But they don't appear to want to pay him top-of-the-line money. And you know what? He's 24 years old, and he's a really good player. Somebody out there is going to pay him top-of-the-line money. Now, let's look at the Giants roster heading into free agency. They need a quarterback, at the very least a backup for Daniel Jones, probably a future franchise quarterback. They need a running back if Saquon's leaving. Darren Waller's likely, potentially, I should say, retiring. They need a tight end. They need three offensive line spots, right? Starting, my mind. Right tackle, at least a contingency, someone who you know could start at right tackle. Right and left guard. We'll get to who those guys are. Robert Hunt's the one I'm keeping my eye on. Michael Onwenu's the other one. But I'll say this about him. Okay, he would be great because he fits both those spots, right guard and right tackle. But it's going to be a tricky situation because guess what? I heard through multiple sources that A, Hunt is going to be representing himself. No big deal. Guys have done that before. But tricky part of this situation, he wants to be paid as a tackle. All right, so now you're talking $20 million a year range. Guy who's never done this before on the open market representing himself, it could take time. It could be a tricky situation. By then, you can't sit there and wait. So I'm interested to see how this plays out with Michael Onwenu. I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong. I get it. I understand. But with him representing himself, it only further muddies the situation. It makes it a little bit more difficult. And I just can't see the Giants paying him as a tackle. Then he's what, getting paid more than Andrew Thomas? Doesn't seem like an ideal situation to bring in. That's why I'm looking most closely at Robert Hunt from the Miami Dolphins. Slide into that left guard spot. Him and Andrew Thomas over there. John Michael Schmidt at center. Then you fix the right side. So that being said, okay, we mentioned all the holes that the Giants have on offense. How about defense? Well, they need interior depth. They need an edge rusher. They need linebacker depth. They need a cornerback. And they probably need a safety if McKinney leaves. So what does this all spell? It spells, use the R word. Rebuild. The Giants need a rebuild. Full out, full on rebuild. That's Joe Shane and Brian Dable should basically embrace it. That's the best way to buy themselves time. Because if they don't and they pretend like they're really competing and they go out and have a bad year, the pressure is going to be on. Their jobs are in jeopardy. I know year one went well, but all you got to do is look at the evidence for Brian Dable specifically. The previous three head coaches all lasted 2 years. This is year three for him. If year three goes terribly, because year two went pretty terribly in a lot of different ways, coaching staff have been wanted out. They were bad. He exploded. Didn't exactly handle himself great throughout the season. Now, they did play hard at the end. But the best way for this regime to get more time is to embrace the rebuild. And this free agency will be a big part of that. Now let's get into more questions with Jeremy Fowler. He'll answer all our questions here. On to the next one.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, let's talk to NFL insider Jeremy Fowler on free agency here. One of my ESPN cohorts, really one of my running mates in the halls of Indianapolis.
That's right. Jeremy's got a
4.640 on the floors of Indianapolis. So very impressive out there for sure. Good performance.
Yeah, it's more of a 5.6.
Oh, did I shortchange you there?
You did. You know, it's funny because my son plays football, so one time we tried to run 40s on like a turf field together, and I was definitely in the 5.6 range, not the 4.6 range.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I tried to do it one year and train with some guys around here, and getting anywhere near 5 seconds, I don't think the normal person knows how hard that is. And I'm like, right. You know, granted, I was 40 years oldish, but man, these guys, even the 350 pounders, they're booking.
Oh, crazy. I know, breaking five, like everybody thinks they can do it. It's tough to do.
Yeah, I think when you watch Rich Eisen at the end of the broadcast, it kind of puts everything into perspective.
We can all relate. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not blaming you, Rich. I'm not blaming you. I promise. All right, so let's get into free agency, Jeremy. We talked a lot about it in Indianapolis. You talked to a lot of people throughout. What's your thought process going into free agency right now with Saquon Barkley?
Well, my thought is that he'll be the top running back. I do believe that for the most part, even though he's got 6 years in the league and Josh Jacobs is a little younger. You know, Barkley seems to be the most exotic option. Teams can do the most with him. So he fits the most schemes, et cetera. So if anybody's breaking $10 million, I think it's him. But I don't think it's going to be much more than that. And, you know, it wouldn't shock me if getting that number is a struggle. I just don't think it's going to be overly fruitful because of the supply and demand issue. You know, there's 6 or 7 really good backs. And it's not going to be easy. But certainly, you know, he'll do well in relation to everybody else.
What teams do you view as potentially shopping in that range? Because look, like you said, $10 million for a running back, not a lot of teams want to pay it. Been a depressed market the past couple of years. Who can you envision or do you know will be in that, may be able to stretch into that range?
Well, some teams I have earmarked as in the market. I don't know if they'll quite go there, but they might. Is Houston. You know, they got some money to blow. They got a window here with CJ Stroud. Vegas, Chicago, you know, it could be a wild card like Cleveland. You know, they got Nick Chubb coming back, but I don't think so. I think they might be happy with their young guys, but they're on my list. Baltimore's one that I'm intrigued by because they're losing Gus Edwards. And I do think I know that they've done legwork on all the top guys. So, it wouldn't shock me if they, I don't think they'd spend the top of the market, but if one of these stars falls to them, you know, maybe that 6 to 8 range, they can pounce on it.
Yeah, that's a very Baltimore Ravens move. I don't know. Maybe at some point. I mean, it's against what they do. But is there maybe when you're that close, like the Ravens are close, right? They're trying to get over the top. Is there a point where you think that organization would be willing to sort of go above and beyond what they normally would do because they know they're so close?
Well, I think it's possible. I mean, you saw that with Odell Beckham, right? It depends on the circumstance. When they signed Beckham last year, part of that was to help out Lamar, ensure that the passing game would be better. You know, in this case, you know, they've always been able to run the ball, but Saquon, you can do so many things with. Like somebody with the team told me, could you imagine Saquon and Lamar in the same backfield?
Yeah.
All the possibilities with that because of the way Lamar runs, you know? So it can be a lot of fun. So I think it's certainly possible. Usually they go more for the veteran receiver route, but maybe they'll change that up.
Yeah, maybe the fact that they got Zay Flowers now and he's that dude and he looks like he's going to be that dude, that they do it at the running back position and change it up just a little bit. With Saquon, okay, let's say he does get around that $10 million range, give or take, you know, a little bit here or there. I think that's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah.
Do you think he brings that offer back to the Giants? And then part two, do you think that they then would sort of match that offer at this point?
That's a great question. It just feels like they're done, you know? I don't know.
Oh, I agree.
It feels like they're done. Now, for leverage purposes, certainly the more teams involved, the better. So you get the Giants at least thinking about it. That helps. I don't know. It just, and I think we talked about this, and I agree. Like, they're already depleted at the skill position. But Saquon is by far their best skill guy. So do you want to get worse by losing a player like that? You know, on paper, probably not. It just seems like they're going to go elsewhere and kind of replenish and, you know, beef up that receiver room and do some of those things. So we'll see. You know, on paper, they want to re-sign him, but it just doesn't feel realistic right now.
I agree with you. So that the Giants feel like they're done with Saquon, right? It just feels that way. That's just the feeling I get from everything they say and the thought process and talking to people around the league. And then you have Darren Waller. He might not even play. He might retire. And once you think about retiring, you're basically retired anyway. So that situation is not in a good place. They don't have a number one receiver. Looks like they want to draft a quarterback. What are you hearing about the Giants? Like, and I had an executive say to me, like, I don't even really understand what they're doing here. Like, it just seems like a mishmash of decisions. What do you think the direction of this organization is right now?
Well, I think the direction will be to try to mold the image in Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's feelings on what the roster should look like. And that's still going to take some time. I mean, they had that first year where it's great they won 9 games or whatever they won. But, you know, it's sad because you don't want to talk about losing. But if they would have won 3 or 4 games, they probably would be in a better spot right now, you know, because they could have rebuilt that thing. And, I don't know what direction they go. I know that it's a very thin free agency tight end class, and it's a very thin draft tight end class. If you lose Waller, that's another hit. And I don't know how you replace that, even though he's been injured and had some problems, but, you know, he's still a high level pass catcher. So I don't know what you do. I mean, there are enough receivers available that you can do some damage there. You're just going to have to spend some money. Like, there's no other way around it. They don't have enough draft picks to rely solely on that. So go get one of the top guards, or at least a guard you feel like can be a road grader for you and help you run the ball a little more consistently, and then help Daniel Jones. Maybe even you get 2, you know, but it seems like the offensive line still has to be the focus. And then you could try to replenish with some pass catching options. But, you know, you're sitting as high as they are on the draft. If you're not going to go quarterback, it just feels like you almost have to go with the top receiver.
Yeah, no doubt about that. If they don't go quarterback, that's a big if, though.
Yes.
You leaning towards that they have a desire to go for that quarterback? I mean, it's been out there. Rich Eisen said they're done with Daniel Jones. While I kind of agree they're done building around him, I don't think they're actually done with him. He's probably their week one starter, so you're not officially done with him. But do you get that vibe from Indianapolis like I did, that this team is looking strongly and seriously about quarterback in the draft?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I sit where you do. I don't think that it's like, hey, you know, spread the word, we're done with Daniel Jones. I never heard that once. Now, I think being done with the player is relative. I think it's Daniel Jones is the quarterback for 2024, and beyond that, probably not, unless he plays really well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that at that point, it's easier to get out of the contract. And, you know, they have to love J.J. McCarthy. Because I'm not convinced those top 3 teams are going to move out of those picks. I'm really not. You got 3 really good quarterbacks there. Take your swing, and all those teams are rebuilding, just except for maybe Chicago. You know, they won 7 games last year, but all 3 teams need a new quarterback identity. Just take the guy. I don't think New England's moving off of 3. But I know, I do sense that both Giants, Atlanta, you know, Vegas, like, they're all at least poking around a little bit. Like Washington, for example, I know has gotten multiple calls on the second pick.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like, real firm offers, like, hey, we're all in here at 3 for Trump picks, you know? It's just a lot of feeling out and general interest. And I'd put the Giants in that boat.
And you don't think, though, that Washington would get off that pick, though? Like, it would have to be a monster package, basically.
Right. I haven't heard enough to say that new GM Adam Peters is like not high on Drake Kay or Jaden Daniels, you know? And when he took that job, you're looking at five picks in the top 100 and the second overall pick. Like, clearly he knew what he wanted to do when he took it, and probably knew that he liked one of the quarterbacks and that could take the job, or you might take a different one, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was what's appealing about it. And, you know, so if you love Drake May, which he has super high traits, like, I'm not saying he's Justin Herbert, but he got some of those qualities, then, like, you jump at that, probably. I can't imagine a world you don't. So I'm just not convinced that there's a way to get up there. So if you don't love JJ McCarthy after three, it's going to be tricky.
Oh, for sure. Then and either you trade back in maybe to the first round and you go Bo Nix, Michael Penix, or you don't go quarterback, probably not this year, so, which is a risk, because where's this organization going to be if they don't have a quarterback of the future and they're running it back with Daniel Jones and it doesn't look like they're going to win a lot of games? So the one thing you mentioned, you did say offensive line, guard in particular, that's the position that I've heard as well that I think they're going to focus on. Who do you see kind of fitting them maybe best at that position or being sort of in their price range?
Sorry, which position was that again?
Guard, offensive guard. Yeah, offensive line, obviously.
Yeah. Huge need. So, yes. You have, it's really a musical chairs game at that one, because you got pretty much four top guys, and you got Jonah Jackson from Detroit, Robert Hunt from Miami, who might get the best deal when it's all said and done. And
that's what I heard as well.
And then Kevin Dodson and Michael Owenu from New England is sort of a guard tackle. Like, different teams look at him differently. So he's sort of, it's like 3.5 guards in that case.
Right.
They're all going to do really well. There are enough chairs, musical chairs, well, they'll pay those guys. So will the Giants be one of the four? And there's some other good players too, but those are the main ones, I would say. And the sense is they're going to be in heavily there. I'd be surprised if they're not flirting with it. Problem is Carolina is going to probably get one, heck, maybe two. They're all in on protecting Bryce Young. You know, Jacksonville, depending on what they do here with Brandon Scherf, if they cut him, something there.
They just signed Ezra Cleveland, though, so it makes me feel like they won't go dip back in for another double-digit. Like, Ezra Cleveland's close to $10 million. Another double-digit card seems like a lot for them.
Right. I was told it doesn't preclude them from doing something, but really it depends on whether they keep Brandon Scherf. If they, you know, like, I think they're working out a potential rework deal. So if they do that, then that's off the table probably, which, you know, helps the Giants in that case. But the Jets, I think, will get one. And they have to do something.
Yeah.
They're going to be all in on helping Aaron Rodgers. So there's going to be competition for those guys for sure. So I think they're probably, the Giants have shown they're willing to pay. I think they would be aggressive there. It depends on who they think is the right fit. And you probably know better than I do there. You know, like Jackson brings some good toughness that they need. You know, I can see that.
Yeah. That's kind of what I heard. Jackson brings the toughness. Hunt's probably the top guy, maybe might even get like $16 million, which, boy, that's a lot of money. We'll see if the Giants are willing to go there. But, man, they need multiple starters at the guard position probably, or like Nwenu makes sense because they need a right tackle too. So it kind of gives them an option there. Maybe he makes the most sense because he gives them that flexibility of guard or tackle, which, quite frankly, we can make the argument they need both positions.
Safety, that's a good point.
The safety spot, it's a really interesting position because a lot of guys are getting released. Xavier McKinney, what do you think of that situation? The fact that they didn't use a tag on him and he's now entering a strong market. Is that money still out there? That big money that Xavier McKinney wants, that top five safety money, David Mulugeta usually gets his guys that kind of money.
Yeah.
What do you see for Xavier McKinney here coming up?
So going into the week, I thought that range for those guys would kind of be like 12 to 14 million a year. And it might, for McKinney, might be a little higher because of the way things are falling, you know? So I'm looking at highest paid safeties. I mean, to get in the top five, you got to hit 16 million. I don't know if we'll hit that, but maybe somewhere between 14 to 16 wouldn't shock me at this point because Cal Duggar in New England being off the board with the transition tag. I thought the Giants would do the transition tag. I was a little surprised because it's good business. Nobody's really going to match that. Typically, or, you know, you could sit on a tag and there might not be another team that makes an offer because they know the team that inherited him would just match it. So, you know, it's good for the team. And, you know, it's, I guess it depends on how you value the player. I mean, like Kyle Duggar with New England, they love what he does. McKinney, really good all-around player, but maybe the Giants feel like, hey, we haven't really won very often with this defense, you know, so is it enough? I don't know, there's a lot that goes into that. They must be like, hey, they can get a cheaper option that can be functional and the right fit for new coordinator Shane Bowen, or they just want to take the chances and they can always match or try to get involved with whatever his offer is on the open market, try to get some in the next 4 days or so. But it's going to be tough. I mean, he's, you know, you look at a team like Jacksonville that should spend there, Philadelphia, you know, desperately needs one. I mean, he's going to have a lot of suitors.
Yeah, I agree totally. I mean, there's not, it's not often that 24-year-old versatile players hit the market, but I know the Giants also, they have some reasons for reservation too, right? There's been some things with Xavier McKinney over the years. There's positional value that all, I think, plays into that situation. Another position that I expect the Giants to look at very seriously here coming up is edge rusher. Yeah. It seems like a pretty deep position. At the top, though, is Danielle Hunter. Can you see the Giants getting in the mix for that, or you think that's sort of too rich? There's a good enough sort of second tier there that can sort of fill their needs because Azeez Ojulari kind of had a down year. Plus, he's a free agent after this year, and the Giants certainly need to add depth and starting caliber talent at that position.
Yeah, that's a tough conversation because Danielle Hunter is going to put up a massive number. I mean, the word out of the combine was he's looking for, you know, 25 to 27 million a year.
Woo!
And I don't know if he'll hit it or not, but he'll definitely get above 20 for sure. So then
the Giants are going at 25, 27. That I could pretty much guarantee.
Right. So I just don't know how far they're willing to go. You know, there are other good mid range options. If you want to keep playing Ojulari, but yet you need like somebody who can produce sacks, you know, Josh Uche could make some sense, or maybe even Bryce Huff, guys that are really good on third down, you know?
Yeah.
Great pass rushers, not necessarily every down studs. It's more situational. You want to pay big money for a situational player? I don't know. But there are a ton of guys that will be, you know, $10 million and under two that are pretty productive. You know, like a Dorrance Armstrong from Dallas comes to mind. He's a good player. He's going to do well. There'll be some others. So I think it's pretty deep. If you want to wait, you can. I don't think it has to be Danielle Hunter. The thing about Danielle Hunter, though, is one GM told me that it's like, he's not going to get the top dollar he maybe should have a couple of years ago because of his age.
Right.
But he's going to have 15 sacks a year for another 5 or 6 years. Like he's pretty automatic in that area. Sean.
That sounds pretty good to me.
Right.
I feel like teams would value 15 sacks a year, for God's sakes, for several years. I don't know what else you're looking for. Like that's a pretty rare talent right there to be able to do that.
No doubt. And he's shown he can play in a 3-4, 4-3 and be productive. So, yeah, he's a pretty sure bet.
Seems a little too rich for what the Giants are looking for at that position. I want to go back and we'll finish on this with Saquon for a second because it's going to be something that's going to be talked about a lot. What do you think of the chances that Saquon or even Xavier McKinney, you know, ends up with some of these division rivals? Because you got the Philadelphia Eagles looking for safety help in McKinney. You got the Eagles, they're in that running back market. The Cowboys are in the running back market. Like, what do you think of the possibility of Saquon landing with one of those teams or Xavier McKinney potentially landing with the Eagles as well?
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, didn't McKinney kind of tease the Eagles? I saw on a tweet recently that got everybody's attention. I don't know if it's just sort of having fun with the process or not, but Philadelphia, the thing is, you never quite know what they're going to spend at certain positions. You know, they probably prioritize corner a little more, pass rush a little more than they would like the middle of the defense, or at least the back seven.
That's why when I hear Saquon to the Eagles, I'm like, what? The Eagles are going to invest $10 million in a running back? Like over Howie Roseman's dead body, that seems like they want to invest $10 million in a running back.
Right. I'm with you. But look, they've had problems with those positions too, and it makes a difference. You saw in the playoffs, teams are good safety help and good linebacker play specifically. They were in there at the end, you know? So I think teams are rethinking. But, you know, a player like McKinney for that defense can really solidify things. Washington, I don't see them spending that much because I think they have so many needs that they're going to work the middle tier with a lot of different positions, you know, or the second tier. So I don't know. I'd be surprised. Not that he's not on the radar, but I just don't know if they'd spend top dollar that position. And then Dallas, probably not. You know, you can bring J. Ron Kearse back for half the price or lower than that. So I don't know. I just, Philly's the best chance of staying in division for him, I would say.
Yeah, that's the talking point with the guy, with the, I'm talking about with Saquon, at least. Like, everyone's like, the Cowboys need him. Like, would they, the Cowboys aren't known to stretch on running backs either, though. Like, you feel like they maybe, like, you know, Jerry Jones did say they're going to go all in, right? Maybe like a little change of philosophy and say, okay, you know what? That's one of the pieces we need.
Yeah. I mean, the teams do change their philosophy depending on what's in front of them. Man, if you're Dallas, though, you could draft a back. You could do a lot of different things. But you got to pay Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and eventually Micah Parsons. So that's going to be the starting for them. But, you know, like Derrick Henry could be, since he's older, a little bit of a cheaper option for Dallas if they want to kind of get an attitude running back, you know? Because I do think they need that.
Well, you know, they're trying to get over the top, and he could help. But he's 27-year-old running back. This is a very interesting situation with Saquon Barkley, for sure. There's no doubt about that. Pretty unique, actually.
I know. It feels like anything's possible. I mean, if he was a pass rusher at his caliber of player, he'd be making $30 million a year. But he's a running back, you know? Like, it's unfortunate that he's been a top guy for a while now. You know, injuries aside, of course.
So you have two sons. Make sure they don't play running back, right? That's the moral of the story?
Seriously. Well, yeah. Guys don't want to play cornerback when they're young, you know? But, like, that's a great position, you know? You get a scholarship easier.
Well, left-handed pitchers. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. I'm left-handed.
Pitchers, Jeremy.
Not a pitcher.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said I'm left-handed, but it's definitely not a pitcher.
you're the reliever. Perfect. They're calling you in. They're calling in a left-hander. You'll be watched this week throughout free agency. Jeremy Fowler will be on ESPN's NFL free agency shows, wrapping it all up, giving you all the details you need. Jeremy, as always, thanks for your time. We appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Jordan.
On to the next one.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks there to Jeremy Fowler, dropping knowledge on us right there in that segment. A lot to digest there. Write it down. He's super plugged in, I promise you. But now, what we're going to do here is, I promise I was going to answer all your deepest, darkest Giants questions with a Giants After Dark. Ryan the Guy, 15 on X, says, will they go top of the market on guard, unlike other positions, edge rusher, as you mentioned, on DNR? That's, of course, Rothenberg and DiPietro, a 98.7 ESPN New York. The question is, the answer to that is, yes, I do believe they need a high-end starter on their offensive line, another high-end starter. The best way to do that is not the draft, because, look, we found out the draft, even with offensive linemen, is a crapshoot. The answer to that right now is they need somebody that they could plug and play and know is going to play at a high level. To me, all signs point to Robert Hunt being one of the guys, or maybe the primary guy, likely the primary guy, that they go after. Mike Onwenu, probably pronouncing his name wrong. I get it. I know I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong. Comes to the Giants, I'll learn how to say it. But the thing with him, it's going to be a tricky situation. Because when I'm speaking to sources around the league the last few days, he's representing himself. He's his own agent. That's fine. That's one thing. But to make it even trickier is, he wants to be paid as a tackle, okay? So now the Giants ain't going to bring him in and pay him more than Andrew Thomas, essentially. So that could be a tricky little signing right there. And I get it. It makes sense for them because they need a guard. He also could be contingency for Evan Neal. But, you know, if you were paying $20 million, near $20 million, you want him to be a guard. He's a better guard than he is a tackle. Brian Cook with the next question. How many free agent O linemen will we sign? Well, they're going to likely sign a starting guard, a high-end starting guard. Like I said, they're going to add a veteran guard as well. Wouldn't rule out Justin Pugh or Ben Bredesen coming back as that veteran guard. Then they're going to at least add a sign-to-compete right tackle. So that's at least three. At least three positions we're looking at right now on the offensive line. That's at least three signings that expect the Giants to make on the offensive line. And I think that's the number, because then from there, you have a bunch of young guys. You have Azudu, you have McKeithen, you have guys like that. Okay, you want to come in and compete, win a spot. Go ahead. At Nick Rose with the next question. Hey, Jordan, with McKinney likely leaving, how do you think Shane will approach the safety position? How do I think he's going to approach the safety position is then look for a mid-range guy. There's a lot of mid-range veterans because they're going to need some veterans anyway. So I think it'll be good to have at least some more veteran defense. You know, the Jordan Poyer type. You know, for $6 million a year instead of $16 million for McKinney, you can get a really good safety in this year's market. The market is saturated with quality safety. So a player like that is how I think they would go. Metalhead Lawyer says, assuming X and Saquon are both gone, who are the free agent safeties and running backs who you could see being good fits for what Dable wants to run? I just mentioned the safeties there. I mentioned Jordan Poyer. There's obviously other guys besides that. I haven't looked too deeply into it yet because the whole McKinney thing has been lingering. And until that gets cleared, that's kind of what I'm concentrating on. But as far as running back, you know, I mentioned on the last podcast, the Giants don't want to play. They don't see the value in paying a running back $10 million a year. So they're looking at the mid-range guy. Now, maybe DeAndre Swift is a little too much. He's probably in the 6-7 range, maybe 8, if the market actually pans out, which doubt it, it's running back. But more likely something along the lines of Zach Moss. I think that's a real strong name to watch there, Zach Moss. Also, if they go a little lower, maybe you got Alexander Mattison, who's cut by the Vikings, or Devin Singletary, who has his ties again to Joe Shane and the Bills guys. The idea is just going to be that you can fill that spot with multiple guys, right? NY Giants News 26 on X says, what do you think about the Giants adding a free agent wide receiver? Gabe Davis is a name that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll have mentioned multiple times. It seems they have a good relationship. Could there be any connection there? I think there's a connection there. And I think if they did go wide receiver, they'd go that route. But it just makes more sense for the Giants to take, this is a really deep wide receiver draft. Even if they don't take a wide receiver at 6, take a wide receiver in the second round, like 2 second round picks. Even if they move up, they keep 1 second round pick. You know, they move up from 6 to 4, draft a quarterback, exhaust one of those second round picks. They still have another second round pick. To me, it makes sense to grab a wide receiver there, or if they stay at 6, grab a wide receiver there. Because this is a really strong wide receiver draft, that would be a decent amount of money for Gabe Davis. The Giants do have Wandale Robinson as your slot guy, Darius Slayton, Isaiah Hodgins on the outside, and Jalin Hyatt as well. So really, yeah, they need another wide receiver, but if you get a good quality second round wide receiver, I don't think that's a terrible route to go either. Again, the wide receiver now, I mean, the tight end position now factors into it. So, man, there's just a lot of needs. You're going to have to make some sacrifices. That just might be one they have to make again, which is disappointing because you wanted them to, like, all offseason, even when they make signings last season, you're like, okay, they're going to fill that position this year, right? That wide receiver one spot, but who knows? Rico Dolor says, do you think Waller's retirement decision is tied to how free agency plays out? And if he thinks they can compete in 2024 for playoffs with the potential roster change? No, I don't think that's what it is. I think that he's just looked at it. It's been a tough few years for him. The injuries keep piling up. The frustrations pile up. But trust me, these guys want to play. Like, they don't want to go in there and sit there and deal with injuries all the time. And this is a guy who certainly he's different. He's a different kind of cat. She's a little bit of a strange bird. Darren Waller is thinking about things outside of football at this point in his life, in his career. Like, what am I going to do post-playing career? What makes me happy? And you see that. You see him making music, and that's fine. But if you're not committed, they usually say, once you think about retiring, you're already retired, which is a scary proposition for the Giants if they really roll it back with him. Either way, they need contingencies. Colby Parkinson, Seahawks. That's a name that I'd keep an eye on at the tight end position. Ty Mo 32, Tyler Morris says, Will the Giants prioritize the top of the tackle guard market or the edge market? It doesn't seem they could do both. Yeah, I mentioned those are two positions that I think that they would look at. And I know that they've already looked into Danielle Hunter. And that market, as Jeremy mentioned, is, I mean, he's going to get paid. The Giants are not into paying that range, you know, $20+ million range, $24 million range. They're not going there. Like, if Danielle Hunter ends up, you know, market being below 20, yeah, I think they might be interested, but I don't see that happening. So I do think the likelihood is they're going bigger at guard than they are at edge rusher. Final question here. We got Bill_A_B. If Joe Shane doesn't value or think running backs are worth $10 million, why didn't he trade Barkley at the trade deadline? I agree with you, Bill, on this one. This is the one thing that I look at that hasn't made sense the most. I mean, he's made bad moves, Joe Shane. He's made, you know, you have misses in this game. That's part of the deal. But I don't understand why they didn't try to get value for Saquon Barkley. And people can be like, well, they could have got the comp pick. You don't just get a comp pick because Saquon Barkley gets up and leaves right now. The Giants, if they go sign a big-time guard, which we do expect them to do, that actually outweighs Saquon Barkley going and signing a new deal. So you're not going to get a comp pick for that. So to me, that looks like it's a mistake. Now, let's see how it all plays out before we make any final judgment. But at this point, I agree with you. Why not trade Saquon Barkley at the trade deadline if he didn't want to pay? Now, we know he's the face of the franchise. This all plays into the equation. They didn't want to put a terrible product out there. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. That is 100% factors into the equation when you work for the New York Giants. I'm sorry. It just does. But this move, when it's just kind of a head scratcher. You were already out of it. You could have got something for him. Probably should have done it. You probably should have done it there. So I think that's a mistake. And Joe Shane later on down the line will probably admit that was something that they probably should have looked at. And at the time, it was a little bit short-sighted. That's it for this Giants After Dark. And also, you know what? That's it for this episode of Breaking Big Blue. I think I held you long enough here. Answered a whole bunch of your questions. Jeremy Fowler dropped the knowledge on it, dropped knowledge on everybody's head. We got a lot in here in a pretty short amount of time. Free agency's coming up. You know what? I think I'm going to do an Instagram Live coming up. So look for that possibly Sunday night, heading into free agency. So look for that Instagram Live at Jordan Ron on ESPN. And as always, like, subscribe, tell your friends. You know how to reach me. Email, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. I'm on all those platforms. You listen to Breaking Big Blue. I'm Jordan Ronan. See you next time.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.